This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The title is Arcology Convergence. So it's a square shape, and I only use monochromatic colors. A bit thin of blue and yellow, but it's just what we call skin. But the character of monochromatic is still there. It describes the gloomy state that we're in. There's a form of this tree. You cannot describe what kind of tree it is. And there are people at the roots, at the bottom of the tree. You can see people converge. But I call them dystopians, who live in a place that you don't want to be, a place but you're forced to be in. And they are actually building something. And there are images of the scaffoldings, buildings, man-made shapes, tangled together with roots, with trees. And above there, you can see that there's a figure that actually like controlling them. All these dystopians are actually doing something not for them, for someone else to reach higher levels. And then that's the first impression of it. It's sad.
This is Front Row on a Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng with one of the three winners at this year's Young Art Taipei 2016. A gym juxta, also known as Raja Azim Izam, who was here at BFM last year in May 2015. He was selected as one of the first Malaysian artists to win this award at a fair which focuses on emerging and established artists aged 45 and younger. Jim is 33 years old. Yeah. You have just described the painting that won you this award. When I first read about this award, that it's focused on young people, young artists, my mind just jumped into, when are artists at their peak?
That's hard to tell because I don't think I'm at that level yet. But I think it goes to the point where people can easily recognize your work, even without the signature, without introducing the work. When the work itself speaks more than just the image itself.
Does it matter that you have to be at your physical peak when you are in your late 20s and early 30s, you are physically at your peak? And when your maturity as an artist might not coincide, does it matter? Does it work to your advantage or to your disadvantage that your physical maturity does not quite coincide with your, you know, mental and emotional maturity?
I think it doesn't matter, but timing is vital. Because you need to be in form, of course. It's just like football players, you know, all these other professions. You need to be physically, you know, well to actually deliver what you want, no matter how good is your concepts or content. So I think it's important, but it doesn't matter, actually.
I talked to a much older artist who in the 60s or 70s, and he talked about how he cannot do what he used to do. His works were, at least when he was younger, much larger, and he could lift it so that the pain could just run. He says, now I cannot do that.
I think it really depends on
the
willpower, you know? Like, if you see Picasso at his like final few years of his life, he keep painting big paintings. He keep doing it. I think maybe it's not same for everyone, but yeah, it is important. Maybe as long as I can actually do something about it with my strength, then why not?
You are still young. How are your ideas developing?
It's based on popular culture. It's a vital thing. I think it's important. Things like movies, stories, books, comics, games, everything. You know, all these were created based on issues that are actually real issues. But they tune it into like so that it's appealing to people to watch. So those are the things that I notice then, and I absorb all these elements and...
So what issues are holding your attention?
Environmental is one of it. And also, I think social issues, like how we treat things around us, like environmental, like how is it like important for us just to drive to somewhere, just to have fun and just keep spending. And I think it's things like that push me to actually to deliver something, to talk about it. And to sing about it in many ways, not just painting. I also sing, I also write. So somehow I cannot just keep it within myself. I have to let it out.
You were trained as an architect.
Yes.
Where and how does your learning of architecture dovetail into what you do in your art?
Because I always wanted to do art, but too bad I'm enrolled into a science school. And when I wanted to apply for university, and they said like, oh no, you're from science school, you cannot apply to go to fine arts. So instead my dad, okay, if you still want to draw, get into architecture. And that's where I learned a lot about not just art, but about, you know, like when you want to propose something, you need to study the surroundings, the context. So from there, you can find issues that actually you should address. But sometimes those issues is not being used when you propose the building. You're not addressing it. And then that's what happened when I work. There's no such thing. Even from like big firms, they just go for it and just keep building. Let's follow clients. And then when I do art, when I decide to do art, it's not like right in a way I took architecture, you know, knowledge and put it into my art. Not spontaneously. It's like someone did actually, like curators, other artists, they said to me, you know, you have this flair in architecture, not just technical, but conceptual. Why not put it into your work? So that's when I go back and look for the things that I love in architecture and try to put it back into my art.
Now, in fact, this work that won you this competition is called arcology.
Yes.
And that's a kind of a new word that came about in the 1950s?
50s.
Yeah, with this Paolo Soleri. And it's a new word, portmanteau of architecture and ecology. Tell us, how does that inform your painting?
It's because I find it interesting, this idea of arcology. I first come across this not through my readings or my study. It's actually from a game. This is a game called SimCity. When you reach to the level that you cannot expand anymore, your population, your growth of the city, at a certain level, you will pop up one option where you can actually build an arcology. And I was like, what is this arcology? So just by building one arcology, it's like one mini city in a mega structure. So everything is inside that. Residential, commercial, industrial, agriculture. So it's self-sustaining.
Self-sustainable.
Yeah. I love the idea. It's like a utopia. And then I started to see this in movies. Movies like Judge Dredd, movies like Elysium, stuff like that. And I remember like this one architect, he did something like arcology. His name is Frank Lloyd Wright. But it's paper architecture, what we call. And everything's, it's just a proposal level. You know, mega structure, everything inside. You put trees inside the building, you put everything. But it can never be built because our technology is not quite there yet. Yeah. And then I did more research and I found about arcology. The term is actually coined by this architect, Paolo Soleri. And regarding the issues, it's actually because, you know, architects react to issues pertaining to overpopulation. They foresee in 100 years' time that this might happen and they need to do something about it. And that's why they research on it. And even though he's not around anymore, the Arco Santi, there's an institution called Arco Santi, which is set up by him, keep calling like researchers, architects to do more research on this. But I think this is not the right way to address the issues in a sense, because instead of try to achieve something, to build something like that, to solve something, to reach the utopia, we need to actually change our ways. So that's the issue. When I use arcology as a something for my work, it's not that I actually agree totally about it. In reaching that, we're neglecting a lot of other things.
What you're saying then is that we need to change and not build things to accommodate us.
Yes, yes. That's the point. That's what happened when I give a talk recently when people ask me about it. And I'm a bit emotional because it's not about me trying to say arcology is the solution. Archaeology is just one statement or one example that how we always try to do something by just simply go against it. And like you create more damage, you create more, you know, you like go for development but keep on destroying.
So what does your painting say?
It's sad. It's gloom. Most people won't say that they're happy to see it. It's not a happy painting. It's a reminder of how sad the state we're in. If we keep on doing things our way, like right now, in 50 years' time, it's going to be just in what I portray in the painting. We're going to be the dystopians. And I bet some of us, we felt that already, actually.
Do you see yourself as an artist that must push us to think about what's happening to us? Or artists should kind of take the role of giving us something hopeful?
Oh, that's a hard question. Because I cannot cater for everything. I mean, like, both things are actually important to give hope. But I have no power to change things. So that's why maybe I should talk about it. I think artists should go beyond painting. We should go beyond making beautiful things just to address to like people's needs to have whatever beautiful collections in their big houses. Apart from that, I think it's an important role for me to actually remind them we're heading that to that state of, you know, despair. The word is like despair. But at the same time, when people talk to me and I can talk back about like, yeah, there's hope actually. As long as we as an individual, we change our ways and try to influence other people. So it's like a chain reaction. So it starts with me maybe, and I talk to you, and then you can talk to other people. So yeah, I think there's hope in it.
Ajim Jaksa, a young artist in his early 30s, who is one of the top three winners of the Young Art Award at Young Art Taipei 2016. A reception event was held for him last weekend at Artemis Art in Publica, where he was presented with this award. Ajim will be spending a three-month residency in Taiwan as part of winning. Ajim's work is still at Artemis in Publica, so catch it before it disappears. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.